First Timothy chapter 1, please. First Timothy and chapter 1. And verse number, we're just going to use the one text, verse number 15. First Timothy 1, verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now that's all we're going to read, and I trust with God's help in the opening up of this meeting, that you might ponder very definitely in your mind every word in this text. There are two great texts in our Bible that are worthy of your consideration constantly. And that's the one that's here behind me, "For God so loved the world." It's a 25-word text. And the center of that text is Son. Most important because, friend, that is the answer to man's guilt and man's need, is the Son of God. And Paul the Apostle, who penned these words that we're going to preach from, he said those words, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." And that great soul winner that blazed the path of the gospel and took the gospel to Europe and was used mightily of God, he carried with him ever and always the appreciation of the one that died upon the cross. Now here's another 25-word text. It's amazing that the center of the text is the word Jesus. 25 words in it. "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And the word Jesus is the center word in this grand, glorious, and blessed text. I would have a problem if somehow or other God said to me, "Albert, you're going to have only one night to preach. I have a job to know which text to take. John 3:16, 1 Timothy 1:15, it would be a toss-up. I would hardly know, probably quote the two of them. Because, friend, it was my last preach. I would like to get deeply into your soul the tremendous value of this text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And my friend, I hope that someone tonight might embrace that. I had a nephew, and he had attended all the meetings for weeks and weeks, I think 11 weeks. He had traveled all the country, everywhere meetings were. There was a certain preacher landed in Northern Ireland, well known to those here, and he was preaching from this text, and this is what he said. He said, "You know, if I had only a breath left to quote the text," he said, "the text I would quote," and he abbreviated it, he said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." That boy was saved. Do you know why, friend? That's what it means. That's what the text means. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I want to break down the text very simply. There's five things I want you to notice. Number one, the text implies the greatest event in human history. Christ Jesus came into the world. That's the greatest event that ever took place in human history. Secondly, it implies the greatest work that ever took place in the universe. He died upon a cross to save sinners. And then thirdly, it gives us the greatest rescue. The greatest rescue that ever took place. My friend, if you were saved tonight, you would say, "Thank God, I have been rescued from my sins and from everlasting judgment." What a rescue, friend, is embraced or implied in this text. He came into the world. The word "saved," as the word behind it, it means rescued. Rescued. And fourthly, We have the greatest sinner in the text. The man that writes it, he says, of whom I am chief. In other words, he's a pattern for everyone tonight in the meeting. You are not saved. The pattern, sinners in hell. The chief one, the first in rank. And he sets, God sets him up, as it were, and says, look, I have saved this man, therefore I have all power to save any sinner after Paul. My friend, thank God the greatest sinner is in the text. And lastly but not least, the greatest offer. It's worthy of your acceptation, friend. I hope tonight that God might help you to bow to the truth of this grand and glorious text. You know, the word Jesus itself, which is the center, you know how to know it's in the cross thing. We use it with a children, but it's worth quoting. I got it from somebody else, but I'll pass it on. J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, eternally saves ungodly sinners. That's enough of that to preach the rest of the meeting, friend. That word Jesus implies he saves, eternally saves ungodly sinners. You know, the greatest event was the coming into the Word of Christ Jesus. The word Christ is the anointed, the Messiah. Jesus is his human name, means Jehovah the Savior. And my friend, this world did not know nor recognize that heaven graced planet Earth with the greatest personage in all the universe, Christ Jesus came. Yes, that day of wrapped in swaddling bands was no less God Almighty. He came, friends. Even our calendars are A.D. and B.C. Everything's gauged by the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus, and yet people pass it by. They never ponder and say, why did he come? What was the reason of his coming? Why should he grace this world? Then tonight, thank God he came into the world. What an event, friends. Heaven must have been thrilled with wonder and amazement to look at a babe in Mary's arms, no less almighty at his birth than on the throne supreme. Do you ever stop and ponder, friend, that? That takes me away from all religious activities and works and good deeds and all the rest that people are filled with, to think that into this world there came the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son from hell, graced this world, he came into the world. Thank God he came. Did you ever stop and ponder it? Did you ever ask? You know, my own converted days, I never thought of it. That is Christmas time. Some cards were sung. But in my 20 years, when I look back in my 20 years, it never dawned on me, it never even registered with me, it never even made sense to me that he came into the world. The person of Christ was a historical figure. That's all, friends. But my friend, he means everything to me tonight, that he came from heaven for me. He came from heaven for you. My dear mother, I just got word this morning. She's not too good. I'm getting the word that she'll be gone any moment. 6 days without eating. And when I got that news this morning, she's 91. I went back to the day that you prayed for. I opened it. Rhythmus in the past, you know. Can't help it. It's not just a melody, you know. It's just appreciation. And friend, when I go back and think of her patience with me, her kindness to me, there's only one mother you have, you know. The open door, the hug, the kiss, the help me up the stairway to the bed, the tucking me in, the getting done and praying. Never turning me out, opening the window when I was standing there, sometimes sitting in a cold step, and said, is that you, son? And she walked down to let me in and took me up to the bedroom and didn't even know how I got up. And you know, there's a lot of things I forget in life, but I never forget this when she told me how she gets saved. She's cured of hell. She's 91, her mind's a kind of little. Come back to senility. Come back to childhood. But I'll tell you one thing that she told so clearly. She told me that
from her conversion. Have you got a conversion tonight? And as I remember, she was only 16 years of age when God saved her. And you know, she never was in a dance hall. She never was in a gambling saloon. She was never out in this world. She kept in her own little environment. Away down the place, there's no need to be mentioned if you wouldn't know about it. Just another countryside. It was called Bogland. And that's all it was, that down there. And the work of cities. And there she was, and two preachers coming on, preached their hearts out, and she attended at 16 years of age.
Troubled. What is she troubled about? She never swore. She never stole.
She never said anything wrong about people. She lived a respectable, very
secluded life. And yet there she is at 16, trembling, friend, about her soul.
See, friend, probably has never dawned upon you that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you need Christ, born in sin. She stood at that open hearth with the truth burning. And her dad and mom prayed for her. And then they went to their bedroom, and the first thing they said to her before they said goodnight, they said, "I we're going up to the room to cry. God is here." She sat there as that fire got lower and lower and the embers were burning low into ashes. And there, in the awful dilemma of darkness, wondering, how can I get saved? Is there such a thing that a person could really know? How am I going to know? My sins are burning me. I'm going down to hell. She had no trouble with that, friend. She admitted that. She confessed that. You know, a verse of the hymn come before, just as the fire was on shot. "Be born the truth, the dread sentence for me. And now both the sinner and the surety go." She said, "There it is all the time. He is dying for me." God saved her at 16. When I heard this morning that she's not good, I said, "Isn't it grand? She got us settled." Now 91, can't think the way she used to think. The body frail, worn out. My friend soon to leave. Oh, isn't it grand to be sure that I'm anchored in the peaceless soul?
Steadfast and sure while the billows roll.
Fastened to the rock, the caliber, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Listen, friend, listen, I wouldn't care if I had 2 cents. And if that's true for the water coming in, and old shoes the bolt in them, and I'd Christ friend of everything. Of course, God doesn't do that with us when He saves us.
He gives us nothing but the best.
But I want to tell you, you make up your mind tonight. Could you ask yourself a question? Why did Christ Jesus come into the world, the greatest of that? You know, it's the greatest work. When Christ came into the world, yes, He was born a babe. Yes, He came here wrapped in swaddling bands.
Yes, He grew up as a boy. Yes, He lived as a man. But the main purpose, the primary purpose, the chief goal, the objective of His heart was to fulfill the Father's will by dying upon a cross. The cross ever thwarted His pathway. Its shadow ever was upon Him.
And then finally, yonder at Darkwell Gotham, He performed, He wrought, He finished, He accomplished, He fulfilled the greatest work in the universe. He was thinking of you, He was thinking of me, and He was thinking of lost, ruined sinners. And on that cross, He said, "It is finished, I have finished the work which Thou givest me to do."
Thank God, friend, the work is complete. Salvation has been provided. I remember that man one time, you know, he thought everybody that went to church was going to hell.
And you know, you come to preach the gospel, that's an insult. Those boys should go away to three places they've never heard of. And these people parked their little portable hall. That was the where he lived.
Boy, he was as mad as a hatter.
He says, "What are those boys? Why did the board work?"
And he was enraged. He says,
well, one day that man was passing down past that little hall. It was morning time. He thought of peeping just inside. And he looked in and he saw two men in the leaves. He listened. He heard one man plead with God. A friend of mine. He said, God will awaken sinners. In the blindness, in the religion, in the darkness. You know that boy went over to his wife and said, look, we have made a difference to you. Those people are real. He started to go to them. His wife said, you can go, but I'm not going.
When you get the okay from the wife, you can go.
You know, the leaders started, you know, the way the crowds come, a crowd goes across. And they packed the hall, and next thing, the dear man, he was taking his chairs out of the house and helping to give them seats.
To feed the people.
And one night lying in his bed, oh, that God would speak to some soul, get a hold of it. One night lying in his bed, all he could think of, I'm going to hell in my sins with all my life. Oh God, how can I ever get saved? And it dawned upon him in the hours of the morning, those three words, thank God for him. It is right. He took his wife and moved up. She says, I'm saved. She says, go to sleep, leave me alone.
Ah, no, he says, I'm saved. He says,
oh, Christ, it just dawned upon me. The work was finished for me. My friend, the greatest work, the only work, there's no other work.
God will never dead works to stand. Jesus alone can save. And my friend, not one iota that you could do, not one work,
could ever merit one moment's favor with God. The work, the greatest work, thank God, it is us. The greatest lesson.
You know, friend, we don't really half appreciate what it is to be saved. But I'm
beginning to appreciate it more. After 38 years, it's just beginning to dawn on me a little. My friend was a tremendous rescue. I remember reading in that story. You remember that financial crash there a ways back, a few years back? Everything down the stock markets.
Boy, the boys were scratching their head.
But you know what took the front line page? Not the financial crash. Of the dark one there. You know what took the headlines of all the newspapers, even down the school? Little Chester, little 2-year-old girl, rested.
The whole world, to say the TVs, everybody was watching from all over the world,
a rescue mission for one little girl who fell down the pipe. And was shot so many feet down. Then took planes and they traveled in with all their brilliance to find out a way to get the little girl. Her mother at the top of that big hole, that pipe, she started to sing down to the little one to try to keep in contact. And then the Jessica stuck one foot up and one down. She couldn't move so many feet out to bring in there. All the engineering that they could muster, all the clever brains, and had to go right through so many feet from that hole and dig right through, and then someone had to go down and go across. I'm not going to go into all the details. It's a thriller.
All I want to get is the point.
The first attempt the man failed. He touched her little foot, and that took a little while. And he had to come back, and he cried. He said, boy, I just couldn't. So they decided someone took her down once more. And he said, I'm going down again. He said, I'm not going to give up till I get that little girl. Down he went again. He got a hold of her little foot, so you could almost see it, and he pulled her down to the
Indiana, and then he pulled him through that hole right across until he came up to the larger one that tunneled down. You know, I never forget, because I hope you met him with a certain minute. I saw this at the closing moments of that, and it's from my heart. You know, the jubilance, the ecstasy, the joy, the thrill, as everyone shouted, hurrah, she's saved! A rescue mission, my friend, had been successful! What will I say of you and I tonight, this meeting? Holy God, we can't again in my soul. You and I plunging down to eternal ruin in our sins, friend, in dark despair. We will look down in the hell itself, and the naked burdens will find in my soul forever. And my friend, we deserve to go down. But there was a hand that was pierced at Calvary. Blessed Savior, lovely Lord Jesus, who came into the world, friend, and he rescued us. Would you like to be rescued? Are you going to remain, friend, in the problem of your sin, shackled by sin, and die without Christ? All the tragedy of it. To save, to rescue sinners. My friend, I advise that I can't tell it well. If I could only tell on my own, my little Peter was frightened all my way. My friend, I tell you, this audience would jump for joy. But think that I've been rescued from eternal fire after my sins. I'm rescued from hell.
Are you still tonight?
Do you remember when you were rescued?
That little girl will never forget it, I'm sure.
She'll never forget it. I'm sure she's written to that man many times. Thanks for laying it down. But I told the Lord Jesus that we're living the Lord Jesus I love. Coming from hell to do that work at Calvary to rescue all our souls. And what do we do? We have to be rescued.
Not only have we the greatest rescue, but friend, the greatest sin rescued. Paul says of whom I am chief, the pattern. He's the product of his virtue.
He says, what? I'm a living testimony to what Christ can do. And I believe everyone is saved, friend. That's what they really are. They may not be jubilant, they may not have the enthusiasm, but there's something about a person that's saved, friend. I don't know why did I understand that I should say this. He fits.
Are you saved?
I'm sorry. But I thought maybe you were.
Ever do that? That's what I know about that. I hit the right one from that and boy, the joy. And see, I was putting in a gas station. And she said, did you have a muscle track, please? Oh, yes, sir. Oh, that's nice. Are you serious? Yes, I am. God bless you.
Oh, I tell you, a treasure heart to meet anyone
going to heaven. I don't know where they your half friend, and they're going to heaven, and they're born again, and they're redeemed by blood. Thank God!
A prophet. A living testimony.
You know, that is where you're accepting. What an honor tonight is given to you. What an honor. If you don't like to be given tomorrow night, this could be the last honor.
You know, bring the Lord. Do you ever hear him?
Big preacher. It's going to be nice. I shouldn't have sent Paul and Corey and Mr. Ramsey by my side because we were interested in the history of the revival. Most people are coming in, even though it happened. And we didn't have to turn on Mr. Ramsey said to the front of the desk, we were told there's a Bible somewhere here. you know, in relation to the Greek revival of Pokemon in North America.
He said, yes, it's in the town hall somewhere.
So she went and asked someone else, and finally, the complete, yes, there's a Bible in the book.
Well, that big Bible, when I took a picture of his hand, and he took a picture of my hand, that big Bible.
You know, Brown and North come across there, and he stood in a little marble. In the fairgrounds in Coleridge, now built up from dust. And he opened his Bible and he started to read. And he started to preach not for half an hour, not for an hour, just preached until the time, and he knew where to go.
The mayor sent the word.
Tell them to use the new town hall. It was going to be open that night with a big dance and break it out of the
The mayor said, tell them to use the town hall. The followed growing them up to the town hall.
Yeah.
Pack that town hall,
bring on what priest long, 33 souls gave the price. Life in the power of that gospel. And God sees me as we have in the Jews.
It's worth of all that Christ Jesus changed the world. Are you seeing it tonight? Are you taking it up? Or the message that you belong to Christ?